and shooting photos of the night sky keeps reminding me that I am nothing, and it helps to keep the false sense of pride light years away. The galaxies, the nebulae, the gigantic size of these makes you think for a moment that we are not even a speck of dust in front of the extremely giant universe.
Astronomy makes Utkarsh Mishra feel like a speck of dust. His story is infinitely relatable in that regard. If you've ever stood out under a night sky, you might have felt the same way. It's been a real pleasure to chat with Utkarsh a number of times, off and on Instagram, and find out about his work. And he's about to share a little bit of that story with us right now. Right, in some ways, right at the beginning of his astrophotography career, although he has been doing it for a few years, I suspect he'll be doing it for quite a few more. A note here about the audio. Utkarsh lives in a busy part of India, and that means that there's a lot of background noise, and sometimes that background noise creates audio noise that I've tried really hard to clean up. I couldn't quite remove all the background noise when it was speaking over Utkarsh, but if you stick with it, I think you'll get a lot out of his story and what he's got to share with us. And if you find yourself distracted by it, just take it as a sign, a little reminder that we're all on this global spaceship together, hurtling around the sun, and sometimes we're packed in pretty tight. As always, you'll find a bunch of links in the show notes where you can find out more about Utkarsh's work, his Instagram profile, and more information about Team Insight Observatory. I hope you enjoy the show, and here is Utkarsh Mishra.
Hello guys, my name is Utkarsh Mishra and I'm from India, and I'm part of a remote imaging team that comprises of three people. First, Michael Patrusco, Neil Reverdin, and myself. We are Team Insight Observatory. The equipment that we use is 16-inch f3.7 beam scope with FLI 16803cc. The rig is hosted under pristine dark skies of the New Mexico. The SQM is close to 21.5, I think, which is bottled one skies. And for your information, Insight Observatory is a platform through which people can remotely photograph the deep sky objects using the high-end equipment that we provide. It's an extremely student-friendly platform in which it provides really affordable rates and prices that people can use to photograph these objects. And you can check the website for more information regarding how you can image
about this. There are not many people here to astroimaging, but recently, since couple of years, a lot of new folks have joined. For example, Shikhar, he has been doing some really good stuff on the dark skies. I really like what he's doing. I started quite a long way back when I was 7 years old. My father once bought me an encyclopedia and I started reading it. And after a few weeks, I finished the whole encyclopedia, and the stuff that I liked most was the space one. And there were lots of information about stars, planets, galaxies, and it just carried me away into the deep cosmic world. I used to ask my father that why are a scientist. If you were a scientist, I used to ask him daily, please, can you change your job to a scientist? I want to look through a telescope.
After reading those books, I decided I wanted to be an astronomer and explore these cosmos. So I used to make a lot of theories regarding how the universe would work, and how new stars would be born, and how what would happen, like, and do another universe exist or not. When I was this was my thinking when I was like 8-9 years old, and unfortunately I could not make it, and I could not become a professional astronomer because my mathematics was like quite weak and I didn't give up. And currently I'm like 20 years old and I'm pursuing law right now, and I finished my second year and currently I'm in my third. And
why do we do astrophotography? To be honest, Todd, astrophotography is one of the finest ways in which a person can engage with the cosmos. And shooting photos of the night sky keeps on reminding me that I'm nothing. And it helps to keep the false sense of light years away. The galaxies, the nebulae, the gigantic size of these makes you think for a moment that we are not even a speck of dust in front of the extremely giant universe. I also like to say that the universe is full of surprises, and there exists the infinite number of possibilities. And astrophotography is not just a hobby for me, but it's my passion, and I never get bored doing it. And this is actually a very important part of my life, as you can relate that, say, around that I've spent a lot of time in learning and then executing this phase.
Mathematics didn't stop Utkarsh from pursuing astronomy. Instead, he pivoted to law for his professional career and took his love of astronomy into a team that is making new discoveries all the time of new deep sky objects. It's quite an involved process. It's not simply a matter of stumbling on them, although that can happen from time to time for people. The team that Utkarsh is a part of has a systematic approach, and he's going to outline it for us now. So listen carefully as he shares how his team finds new deep sky objects.
Now, about the question that how do we go on and discover these new deep sky objects? Few years back from now, the doors to the scientific research were completely closed, and I was like mostly giving, like, only doing astrophotography these days. But I wanted to do this, my favorite work, about like finding some stuff or making some like important breakthrough in science. So like luckily I messaged my friend Xavier Strotner, he's from France, regarding NGC 5908 galaxy. That galaxy is very unique because it has a really impressive tail, and last year we shot that galaxy for around 30 hours using our high-end equipment, and it only revealed the single loop, and it caused a little controversy in that time. So when I messaged Xavier, and he sent me a very important like a message that you could join like us and do this discovery stuff with the Planetary Nebula. And I knew about this like a couple of years from now, as Sankalp told me about this, but I was not like completely interested in this stuff. But I started like asking more questions, like how it is done, how we can make studies, and whom to report, how to identify such thing. And Xavier was extremely patient with me, and he guided me like a teacher. And every day I sent him a new message that, look, with a new question, like what would happen if this and this occurs, and can I name that to anything, etc., etc. And like a lot of questions I used to ask him, and he used to reply me every time, and he used to tell me that it's not easy job, but you can do it if you are like extremely devoted. So I followed his words, and I started like spending a lot of time, at least I think at least 10 hours a day, every day, like every day for 10 hours. And luckily we had this COVID pandemic going on right now, and it's even like going right now, and our college shut down, so we were learning online, but I was not really studying. I was completely devoted in doing this research. I used to stay awake till 4 a.m. and I used to search in the surveys, the amateur datas, and I used to find several objects, but it took me almost 6 months to actually find something constructive. And that those 6 months were extremely important for me, as they were the deciding factors of like what would I do. And it made me realize that how I would perform such like study around what to find and what to not find and what to look for. Like the more you spend time, the more you get to know like what you have to do and what you have to like you don't have to do, that stuff. Okay, and that time I used to like send a lot of messages to Xavier and Marcel, and of course my discovery partner Sankal, and used to together for have a lot of chat. We even conducted one video session, the all four of us, and we discussed the important points, like how these we can make these discoveries and how to make the path a little more easier. They shared some secrets with us, and now I'm going to share some of the knowledge right now. The first thing we check about like something, if you have found that, we have to check it's that it is known or not. Okay, as it's worthless to study or anything that is previously known, as it's not really interesting. So, and a lot of bright ones are already known. So when you'll open the surveys, you'll find lots and lots of Hadron Nebula or other objects, and they are already known, and especially in the southern hemisphere, lot of them are already known. This is why my 6 months were like completely known like this. Like every object when I found, it turned out to be known. I was really disappointed at that time. So right now I'm sharing you some things. Like what do we look? Specifically we look for O3s or hydrogen alpha signal that is being emitted by that object. And then I told you that we have to check if it's known or not, and then if it's like not known, I know how do we check that if it's known or not. I received a lot of comments about this, that how do you know that this is not discovered already. It's a genuine question. So I want to tell that we use the CDS portal, the hash portal, and the last is we check the research papers. The CDS portal is like a small database. It's not really small, but for this particular thing it's small. So this is why we use the hash portal. Hash contains like 90% of the reported data, and the research paper is the ultimate thing that one needs to check. And if there is no mention of the object, then it's likely that the object is unknown, and it's actually worth reporting to Mr. Pascal for designation. So right now we have discovered several new objects, and some of them have been already published on the public forum. Like and lots of them are still waiting to be designated after our names. And we even have a catalog that is known as Mohmi or Mohan Mishra. They are like based on our surnames, like for example Charles Messier, so we call it Messier 47, Messier 45. We give the surname or the designation. So now I'm sharing a short list, like what do we look for. So first of all, that we check is, the first thing is obviously that it's known or not. So that is already gone. So in case like you have found a subject which is unknown, okay, so first thing we find is a CSPN. Now what is a CSPN? CSPN is a central star for planetary nebulae. It is a bluish white dwarf that is present inside that nebulosity. So this is actually quite necessary, as it is the main reason that the planetary nebula has formed. Now many of the objects, it's not necessary that you have found a planetary nebula, but yes, if you are looking for a planetary nebula, this needs to be like compulsory if the object is more than like 6 to 7 arc minutes in size. The smaller ones, you cannot say that. But yes, they exist, but they are quite small or distance, quite distant. The CSPN white dwarf should have adequate amount of temperature. Now the temperature also, like, it's important. For example, you find a region and you even find a white dwarf inside that, but the temperature is just too low, like 4000 Kelvin, and like it's not responsible then. But yes, sometimes even data is faulty, but it's not always like. And the correct, like, the temperature that we need is somewhere between 23,000 Kelvin to like I think 40,000 is appropriate data, and I think more less than or more than is necessary. Also, we check the mass of the white dwarf, and the mass should not be more than 1.4 solar mass. One solar mass is equal to the mass of our own sun, and our own sun is also expected to make a planetary nebula when it runs out of fuel. And first it will go to the red giant phase, after that this will. Now the object should not be visible in all-wise survey. So all-wise, the object that you have found should not be visible in all-wise or this 2-mass survey. The FUV NUV, FUV stands for the far ultraviolet, and NUV stands for the near ultraviolet. The both should have a difference like more than 0.500 to 1, and the white dwarf's color should be good bluish. It should not be like faded, complete fade. It's not really compulsory, but yes, it's not really a sign that this could be possible. We also check the spectral class of the white dwarf, and we even check the distance of the WD, and it should not be more than 16,000 light years away. Now, the criteria for the narrowband signal that you have located, for instance, that you found a velocity that is isolated, that region should first of all be isolated and should not be part of some structure. But yes, again, possibilities do exist, and there are several PNs that has been found that were attached to the like surrounding nebulosity. So it's not really like every time necessary, but yes, it does matter sometimes. Now there should be a clean hydrogen alpha or O3 signal. Now it's not necessary that if you have H alpha signal, it's like guaranteed to have a PN. No, it's not really necessary. Sometimes hydrogen alpha signal can also tell that this is an H2 region. So, but if you get an O3 signal and a good like circular shape, then I think that's a really good sign. And there are sometimes that some carbon nebula are only visible in oxygen or hydrogen, like they are also the unique ones. Now we need to have at least a couple of sources of nebulosity, like that region should be visible in at least two sources, otherwise this will be like a completely artifact, will be denoted an artifact. So again, there shouldn't be any like entry in the hash portal SIMBAD, or no research paper should tell about that. And these are all things that basically need to consider before reporting it to Ms. Pascal. And we have recently prepared a short PDF for people who are interested, and they can ask me if they want. I will give them. It contains a lot of information about how to conduct your first like hunting experience, like what surveys can you use, and I've like completely written down all the information there. Now to make a discovery, it takes loads and loads of time, to be honest, and it is not an easy stuff. Many a time the objects are not even designated. Like sometimes if you find a constructive object and you report it, but no response, like maybe someone already have discovered this before you, maybe a couple of weeks back. So this is also a like, chance or luck stuff here, but it's quite like amazing thing that you at least found something that was like unknown. Recently we have discovered a really nice object, and this is a collaboration between the four of us, team SEDR, the Stotner Kretschler team, that is German French, and our Indian team. We have made a new discovery recently, and let's hope that it gets designated. It will be the greatest of all time, and it's really good, and I hope it gets designated first of all. Sorry, I cannot reveal too much about it as it's still in the learning phase. And I would also like to thank Dana Patchik, who provides us great help in the research stuff, and he always replies us with our doubts and questions. And I would like to thank you, Todd, for giving me such a wonderful platform to share my experience with the world. And maybe someday we talk more, and people who want to check about my work can go to my Instagram, Mr. Deep Sky, and I'm sure they won't be disappointed. And for reading my discovery stuff, please, you can check my website, akarshmishraastrophotography.com. I've written some really good articles there that you can enjoy, and it's quite worth. Thank you very much.
As always, if you enjoy listening to Backyarders, please leave a review and a rating wherever you listen to us, and that will help the podcast reach more people. Thank you for listening to Backyarders. We'll be back soon talking to another amateur astrophotographer, because it's the people of astrophotography who emit the most light. You can find out more on Facebook and Instagram under Southern Skies or SA_Astro. The intro music to this podcast is brought to you by Reed Mathis, a track called Night Sky, and the outro music is Space Lady by Slink. We'll see you next time. I'm not going to do that.